Don't Move a Muscle, the podcast has started.
Hello and welcome to Potravis Totalis, a Harry Potter read-along podcast, where we read the Harry Potter books.
You don't need to, well, then you say like, I'm your host.
I am your host, the only host on this podcast, Joe.
Yeah.
And my companion.
Companion?
This is Hedwig over here.
Oh, God. No, companion is forever charged with Doctor Who, unfortunately, because unfortunately I was on the internet from the years of like 2012 to 2014 when Doctor Who was like, Doctor Who was never Tumblr's boyfriend, but came pretty close. And
I don't want to talk about this at all. I'm sorry.
Why do you never want to talk about Tumblr's boyfriend?
Because it's a very bizarre thing to personify a website.
If you were there, you would know. But the companions, they're like Amy Pond is the doctor's companion. I don't like the word companion. Okay. I'm going to use all of these introductions.
Well, let's take number 7.
You can't redo it. It's fine. We're already in it. I'm Cassie.
I think I said my name already.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's go.
Okay. This is Potravis Totalis. I'm Cassie. That's Joe. And we're going to do the podcast now after like 6 attempts. And we've been recording for like 10 minutes now.
Do you really want to listen to that, though?
I mean, I don't have to listen to it. It's the people that download the podcast that do. All right, whatever. We're here to do chapter 2 of Chamber of Secrets, Dobby's Warning. I was about to say wedding. That would
Dobby's
be a very different chapter.
Be much better ending.
Yeah, we'll save that for book 7.
Yeah. So, this week... all right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Today we are reading chapter 2 of The Sorcerer's... No. Chapter 2 of The Chamber of Secrets.
That's both the wrong book and the wrong title. You were doing like an NPR voice there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fancy.
This is why we should make a Patreon so that we can just put up all the failed attempts and charge people money for it.
I'm sure that would go so well. Yeah. Hey, do you want to pay us money to hear the times that we didn't even want you to hear?
I'm going to put all these in.
Chapter 2, Dobby's Warning. It is Cassie's turn to do the chapter summary. She has 30 seconds. I have it on the clock. On your mark, get set, go.
No, don't do it like
nope,
that.
It's
like,
happening
do it
already.
When, oh, God. A house elf named Dobby shows up in Harry's bedroom and tells Harry not to go back to Hogwarts because someone has an evil plot for the school year. When Harry refuses, Dobby messes up the Dursleys' dinner party and Uncle Vernon locks up Harry as punishment. Harry wakes up to find Ron outside his window.
14 seconds.
Did you not start it when you said it did?
No, that was 14 seconds.
Oh, wow. I guess I can read really fast. That's what happens in this chapter. Like the last one, I guess it's a little eventful. It's more eventful than the previous one, but it's still...
Stuff happens.
Stuff happens, but I read it and I'm like, that's it?
It is a short chapter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazon said the estimate to read it was 7 minutes.
It took me a little bit longer.
Yeah, it did. That's what happens in this chapter. It's the Dobby chapter. I figured you would be excited to get to it, though, because I know you really like Dobby.
I love Dobby. This introduction does stress me out a lot, though.
The introduction of Dobby?
Yes.
Why?
Just the idea of, like, Harry...
A house elf appearing in your bedroom?
No, but, like, Harry trying to keep him quiet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, the stress of, like, oh, Vernon's downstairs.
Yeah.
They're going to hear this.
Yeah.
It does stress me out.
Sure. Yeah, of course. But Dobby is a great character.
He really is.
Yeah, he's a good addition to the cast. And I resent that Dobby was removed from the movies as much as he was. Because he's in quite a few of the books. I'm going to say at least 3, maybe 4.
Like, pretty much from now on, he's in the books to some extent.
I don't think he's in Prisoner of Azkaban.
You sure?
No. As we've said, it's been a long time since I read Prisoner of
Azkaban. He has a big part in
Goblet.
The Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
They took too much out of Goblet of Fire.
I know. We'll get
but
there.
This is not
the We're talking about
podcast.
Chamber of Secrets. So Dobby. I have a lot to talk about with Dobby. I did a lot of research about Dobby. So Dobby besides being a great character who was criminally underused in the movies. Dobby's birthday is June 28th, which is the same day as Rowling's sister, Diane. And Rowling did that because Diane loves Dobby.
I guess we don't find out Dobby's birthday in within this book.
I don't think it's said in any at of all. The books. Honestly, none of the
So did she
characters...
just like tweet this out afterwards?
Yes. Somebody tweeted at her like, it's my birthday. And I don't remember exactly. Yes, this did come from the nightmarescape that is J.K. Rowling's Twitter. And she tweeted that Dobby's birthday is June 28th, and so is her sister's.
I guess I can count it.
Count it? Count it as what?
I mean, like, are you going to count everything she says on Twitter as, like, canon?
I think, unfortunately, we have to. We can have our own headcanons, and we can say that this is a real dumb thing that she said, but she still has the power to say these things. Like not anymore, but George Lucas, unfortunately, the things that he established are kind of canon.
But did he establish them on Twitter?
I don't think he has a Twitter.
Well,
it's a word of God thing. So yeah, I think it is canon that Dobby's birthday is June 28th.
Okay. Yeah. I'm fine with Dobby having a birthday. That's not what
Does Dobby have parents? How are house elves born?
I don't know.
And like how... So like, let's say I have a mommy and a daddy house elf.
Well, you've just said they're mommy and daddy house elves, so they will have kids.
Right. Yes. But so they're my house elves. And then they have a baby. Is the baby automatically my house elf, or does the baby get sent to a different family?
I think you get to keep it.
Okay.
I think this is just slavery.
It is. Yeah. So this is the book that introduces slavery to the Harry Potter universe. We'll see if Rowling handles it responsibly. Spoiler alert, she doesn't. but Dobby. Okay. Dobby's birthday. And then I looked into Dobby's name. So I went to the Oxford English Dictionary this time because I've learned from previous experience to not trust Galadriel or the Harry Potter Wiki or truly anyone, and I need to do my own research. So I went to the Oxford English Dictionary to look up the etymology of Dobby. So as far as etymology goes, the Oxford English Dictionary says that Dobby is a playful application of the proper name Dobby, D-O-B-B-I-E. And that is a diminutive of Dob, which is an alter form of Robbie or Rob. And that will become important soon.
So Dobby's name is Robert.
Yes. Robert the house elf. the OED also connects Dobbin, which is another form of the name Dobby, I guess, to the name Robin, which we might be more familiar with, which is going to become important in a moment. But as far as definitions that the OED offers, they have number one, a silly old man, a dotard or a booby. Number two, a household sprite or apparition supposed to haunt certain premises or localities.
That one kind of makes sense.
Explain how.
He's stuck at home. He's stuck in a house.
Okay.
You know, he's like a spirit. He wears a sheet.
Okay.
Keep all going.
Right. Sure. And then number three, an attachment to a loom for weaving small figures.
Okay. He's a small figure.
Okay. Yep. Good job. You solved it.
Weaving small figures. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like making...
Let's Google it. A Dobby loom is a type of floor loom that controls all the warp threads using a device called a Dobby. The word Dobby is a corruption of draw boy, which refers to the weaver's helpers who used to control the warp thread by pulling on draw threads. A Dobby loom is an alternative to a treadle loom.
So what small figures does it make?
I don't know.
Is this exclusively for sewing dolls?
Maybe a figure is a sewing thing.
Okay, like different shapes. That yeah. might make sense.
Okay. If you know anything about sewing, please email us at owlpostapotrophicus.dallas. This is going to be another pins-nez situation, isn't it? Okay, so there's that. Galadriel did note that Dobby is a variation of the word hobgoblin, which is a tricksy imp or sprite, and that tracks with the OED definitions, and that tracks in terms of like the derivation of words. So mm-hmm. Galadriel was right in this case. However, the word hobgoblin is another name for Mr. Robin Goodfellow. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Robin Goodfellow.
You were going to have to explain it anyway.
Yes, I was going to have to, but I think you've read A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I have.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I remember it.
Okay. Robin Goodfellow is a character in A Midsummer Night's Dream, a play by William Shakespeare, or Billy Shakes, as he's known affectionately in this house. And his name is also Puck. Do you remember Puck?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's Robin Goodfellow.
Okay.
So Puck is a mythological creature separate from the Shakespearean canon, but of course he's a big character in A Midsummer Night's Dream, and he kind of sets the events of A Midsummer Night's Dream into action by manipulating the main characters. He's the one that casts the spell on Hermia and
the other four.
There are a lot of characters. There's Hermia and like Hippolyta, and no, Hippolyta is the queen. I don't know. There's a lot of characters and their names all sound the same, and I don't remember it very well either. But so Puck is this mischievous little fairy throughout the play who kind of controls the events, and he serves Oberon, who is king of the forest. That's as deep as I'm going to get into the Shakespearean lore thing there, but do you see a connection there with Dobby?
I mean, he's kind of starting out the events of this by laying the seed of like, this is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
but he's definitely not responsible for the
That's
actual
true.
Trouble. He does cause trouble of his own.
Yeah.
but he's not responsible for the actual danger that
right.
Harry has to avoid.
Well, arguably, in A Midsummer Night's Dream, Puck isn't directly responsible. It's more... what happens? So Aegeus,
but he's an instigator.
But he's doing it kind of for fun. It seems like it's Aegeus who causes Hermia to like flee into the woods. Oh, I don't remember this play well enough.
All right, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, no, I agree. So Dobby is kind of manipulating events here. He's trying to manipulate Harry by stealing his letters and thinking like, oh, well, if Harry doesn't think anybody cares about him, maybe he won't go back to Hogwarts. And yeah, so he is trying to exert control over the events of the book, I think. But he's not doing a very good job. And
no.
I mean, things do go wrong for Puck. Like Puck casts a spell to cause like so that when you wake up the first person you see is the person that you love, but he uses it on the wrong person. I think he's meant to use it on Titania. Yeah, so I think there's a parallel there of this like kind of tricksy figure that is trying to manipulate things and it doesn't always work out right.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see the parallel there.
Yeah, plus it I don't know. I felt like it was like a galaxy brain moment when I connected all these threads. Yeah, so that's interesting, I guess. I think it was intentional, if not because, you know, Puck is one of the most well-known characters from Shakespearean canon, but also it is a mythological creature, and he is a mythological creature, and as we know, Rowling loves mythology and referencing mythology in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another note about Dobby is that, and I got this from the Harry Potter lexicon, is that Dobby speaks in the third person. And I guess I didn't need the Harry Potter lexicon to tell me that. I kind of knew it. But I thought that was interesting, too, to think about, because it as an affectation kind of robs him of his individual will and identity, because he was always saying like, oh, well, Dobby this and Dobby that, never like I this, I that. So that's my backstory on Dobby. You know, he doesn't really have like a secret backstory like any of the other characters.
And we don't have a ton of information on him at the moment.
Right.
In the story, you know, we get who he is. We get that he is owned by someone. He serves a family. We don't know who,
mm-hmm.
but he's hinting at this family is looking to cause Harry harm.
Yes.
That's where he's getting this information. He's risking being tortured, and he's intending to
torture himself
anyway,
and he's kind of doing it in the process too.
Because yes. I really liked when Harry says, "You can't have met many decent wizards," and Dobby shakes his head no, and then realize, oh,
yeah,
I live with wizards.
I just said something bad.
I just said something bad about my family.
Yeah, yeah. Although I think I like that moment a little better in the movie when Harry says that, because this scene is honestly like word for word translated into the movie. Mm-hmm. The scene between Harry and Dobby. Yeah, and I like it more in the movie because Dobby like looks up and he says like, "No, no, I haven't," and then realizes what he's done. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought it. I think it's a little more funny that way.
I mean, he still does the same thing.
He
just doesn't say out loud.
Yeah, but he's cute in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely like his design in the movie more than this.
Yeah, the chapter image is a little weird.
Don't like it.
Feminine. But he also has, I can't tell if it's ear hair or sideburns.
These are mutton chops.
Okay.
These are definitely mutton chops.
Okay. I like that. canonically, Dobby has mutton chops.
Yeah.
I mean, but other than that, it's pretty close. They make him look a little more creepy in the movie.
But like a good creepy, like an adorable creepy.
I don't know. I find Dobby in Deathly Hallows, the movie, creepy. Because they like really redo him and he just looks really broken and weird.
They do redo him and they try and make him look cuter. I wonder if the attempt was he's healthier now.
But it looked real busted in the movie. But Dobby's really cute and Dobby is kind of trying to help Harry.
He genuinely is. You are in danger.
Yeah.
If you go to Hogwarts, you will be in a lot of danger.
Yeah.
So you have to stay here.
Does he offer a motive? Like, does he say why he's coming to warn Harry? I don't remember.
Because he knows what's going to happen to Harry.
Right. But he doesn't say, like, I want to warn Harry Potter specifically because blank,
because
blank,
he is so great.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, which I did find entertaining because Dobby does praise Harry's greatness and Harry's like, I'm not that great. I'm not even like top of the class. That's Hermione, which I thought was quite funny, both because Harry just like defeated Lord Voldemort a few weeks ago. And also because Harry is saying like, well, to be truly great, one has to excel in academia. So you heard it here. Harry Potter loves nerds.
Very true.
Yeah. I also like that he totally acknowledges his inferiority to Hermione.
Yes, he knows, and he knew last book, he knows now, he will continue to know.
Yeah, yeah. We've been rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender, and there's a very similar kind of trope they're playing out of the two male leads relying on the female lead for basically everything and knowing that they would be dead without the female lead.
Yes, you can't survive without Katara.
Or Hermione.
Or Hermione.
So Harry and Dobby kind of have this conversation where Dobby warns Harry and tells him not to go back to Hogwarts. And Harry says, like, no, I have to go back to Hogwarts. I can't live here with the Dursleys. They're horrible. They abuse me. And hey, Dumbledore is there and he'll protect me. What can go wrong with Dumbledore there? Ignoring that, again, a few weeks ago, you know, the forces that be found a way to get Dumbledore out of the castle. It seems very naive of Harry to be like, Dumbledore is there.
Well, he knows no matter what danger is there, he'd still rather be there
than with the Dursleys.
Yeah. And in his dream, he gets into that idea of like him being locked in a cage, and it's like underage wizard zoo. Mm-hmm. And he's dreaming that Dobby's outside pointing at him and just saying like, you're safer here. Harry Potter is safer here.
Yeah.
As he's just locked up in a cage.
The dream sequence is odd. We'll get to that because we're jumping around a little bit. But I think there was an interesting parallel to the first chapter of the first book, actually, because Dobby says when Harry brings up that Dumbledore is there and that, you know, nothing bad can happen while Dumbledore is there. Dobby says there are powers Dumbledore doesn't. Powers no decent wizard. And he kind of trails off there. And I felt that that was a good connection to McGonagall's line in the first chapter of the first book, where she says something like, you know, only because you're too noble to use those dark powers. Yes. So I liked that repeat, and it did lead me to question how early some things were planned, because a Chamber of Secrets is exceptional. We talked about this a little bit on the last episode, that Chamber of Secrets is so exceptional because it lays the groundwork for what becomes a fundamental plot line in books like 6 and 7. And so, yeah, there's always that nagging question to me of like, was this all planned out or did it kind of conveniently fall into place? But yeah, lines like this make it feel like it did work out.
Yeah.
And again, that's what's so much fun about rereading the Harry Potter series is there's all these little nuggets to connect.
Yes.
As you read through.
I did like that immediately. Like, speaking of Voldemort, Harry asks, oh, is it Voldemort? Is Voldemort going to be the danger?
Yeah.
So Dobby says that no, it's not Voldemort. So we have to think who instead.
What is this threat?
Yeah.
Which turns out to be a bit of a misdirect, but we'll get into that later on.
Yes.
So it's a really interesting conversation that like it simultaneously functions as a recap of previous things, because like Dobby says, you know who, and Harry's like, oh, Voldemort, to kind of remind the reader of like, hey, here are the big players at work, and like, oh yeah, Dumbledore is at Hogwarts. But it also, it again, like plants these kind of, this kind of breadcrumb trail for you to follow throughout the book. It's a really well done exchange.
It really is.
And it manages to be also like charming in the process of the constant, like Dobby says something and then beats himself up. And Harry, you know, is like, no, please stop. You're going to alert my family. And it's a fun little scene. It's a good moment.
It is.
Yeah.
It does bother me the whole time that Harry doesn't just say, okay, fine, I won't go to Hogwarts,
right?
And then go to Hogwarts anyway.
Yeah, especially when Dobby is like holding the letters from Ron and Hermione and Hagrid hostage, and he's like, say you won't go to Hogwarts, and Harry's like, no, I'm going to Hogwarts. It's like, just say like, okay, you persuaded me, I'm not gonna go to Hogwarts, and then take the letters and then go to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Although,
that's just not Harry.
Yeah,
he's not going to lie to get his way.
That's true. Yeah. I do want to know how Dobby managed to intercept these letters.
He hired a bunch of owls to attack other owls.
With the money that he makes at his slavery job.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just weird, but I don't think that...
Dobby has his own trained owls.
I don't think it's a meaningful thread to follow. So they have this exchange. Harry says, no, I'm going back to Hogwarts. And so I guess it does work out in a way as Dobby intends it to. Dobby destroys the Dursleys' pudding pie or something.
Yes. Which would not really have worked if.
Right. So Vernon kind of saves it. What do you mean?
Like if Harry hadn't chased him, Harry would still be in his room as a pie just fell off the shelf.
I guess. That's a good point.
And like it's much more extreme in the movie.
Yeah,
because Harry is holding it over. Yeah.
Right. So Dobby drops the pudding pie and ruins it. And Vernon actually manages to like save it and be like, oh, my nephew, he's disturbed. You know, he doesn't like meeting new people. So we locked him upstairs. I'm so sorry. And he about saves it until the owl flies in.
Yes.
And delivers the letter from the ministry. And then Mr. Mason stands up and he's like, how dare you? My wife is
terrified
of birds.
For the purpose of that letter, it seems like a problem.
I hate this. I have like a paragraph written about this. So for a organization that is trying to warn people about being secretive about magic in front of muggles, to send a huge barn owl that swoops through the dining room window
and lands on a muggle.
Right. It seems ridiculous.
Yeah. It really does.
Oh, it's so frustrating. But yeah, and that's an important moment, too, because we'll see the rules about doing magic outside of school come up later on, although it has never been followed up before, because in book one, Hermione is like, oh, I've done a bunch of simple spells back at home where she lives amongst muggles.
It's like once you've gone into Hogwarts, that rule kind of takes place.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of children of wizards have done magic before, and really the idea is children with magical powers will accidentally do magic.
That's
constantly.
True. That's a good point.
So as you're honing your skills, once you've gone to Hogwarts, you're expected to now be in control enough to stop yourself from using it.
Although in the movie of this book, Hermione, like 10 minutes later, fixes Harry's glasses. She's not in front of muggles, but she's still using magic outside of school.
Wasn't she in Diagon Alley?
Yeah.
That's Diagon Alley.
I just said she wasn't in front of muggles, but she's still using magic outside of school.
Yeah, but she's surrounded by wizards.
Still, it bothers me.
Okay. But the idea of the way they're sensing magic, it's not really explained how they are. They just know magic was used. Here's what magic was used. And
there was a wizard here. Yeah.
So it's not even that there was a wizard here, because a wizard wasn't the one making spells, but they know
Harry one underage was there.
Child.
Yes.
So the children of wizards can get away with making those spells because it's expected that spells are used in that household.
Right. That's true. That's a good point.
And then in Diagon Alley,
nobody's going to notice. Okay. Yeah. All right. But that is important, too, that it's imprecise the way that the ministry tracks magic. That'll become important in later books as well.
Yeah.
So they get this letter from the ministry from, what was it, the International Code of Secrecy or something, or that's what they're enforcing. I don't remember what the office is called, but...
The Improper Use of Magic Office.
Yes. And it is from Mafalda Hopkirk. I went to do research on Mafalda, only to learn that there is a cut character named Mafalda, different Mafalda, who would have been in Goblet of Fire. But so I guess we'll talk about that when we get to Goblet of Fire. There's not a ton out there about Mafalda Hopkirk. It is the Mafalda is the Portuguese form of Matilda, and it means strength in battle or mighty sword. Thanks, Harry Potter Wiki. And then I turned this up on my own just because I was curious about the last name Hopkirk. In the 70s in Britain, there was a detective series called Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, where Randall is one detective and his partner is a ghost named Hopkirk. Okay. I don't know what that has to do with Mafalda Hopkirk, but I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was a possibility that Rowling could have gotten the name from there.
That's why she wasn't in the fourth book, because she's deceased.
A different character.
No, same character.
Okay. But I did love that, there's this, Harry gets this big long letter about, like, we detected magic being used here, and this is punishable up to, you know, expulsion from school. Enjoy your holidays, Mafalda Hopkirk.
Yes.
I thought that was really charming.
It's very interesting. And it cites the whole rule and says the specific charm. But the way it's like, we have received intelligence that a hover charm was used in your place of residence with the exact time and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not explain where that intelligence is coming from. It sounds like somebody let them know rather than they're keeping track of it.
No, I don't think that's true. They're keeping track of it. I think that's so you use passive voice to obscure the actor in the situation. But I think in this case, whatever tracker they're using, like, it's not a person tracking this. Like, they have some kind of notification system.
Yeah.
And so you can't say, like, the notification system told us that, you know, just we've received intelligence. Yeah, it's a very, like, governmental bureau thing to do, too. Like, if an FBI agent shows up at your door, they're not going to say, like, hey, your neighbor told us that you're doing this weird stuff. It's like, we received intelligence and we need to follow up on this, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I loved that. Enjoy your holidays sign off, though. I really like Mafalda Hopkirk, as small of a role that she has to play in the series. For some reason, I don't know, the name just always sticks with me. And she has that dope jacket in the movie that she shows up in. And that's kind of all my notes for the chapter. We should talk about Harry's dream, though.
I mean, we touched on it. There's not really much more to it.
Yeah. Vernon locks Harry up in his room. They put bars on the windows and a cat flap.
Well, the most important thing is to feed Vernon him. Reads the letter before giving it to Harry. And
they discover that realize he can't.
He's not allowed to use magic.
Yeah, which is what enables Vernon to lock Harry up in the bedroom. I want to know how Vernon explained to this man that he had fit bars on Harry's window why they were doing that.
You don't really have to. You just pay the man.
It feels weird.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. The cat flap thing really lives in my memory for some reason. I don't know. I think as a child, I would always think of that when I was punished, like sent to my room. Although I don't think I was ever sent to my room without supper, but, you know, like sent to my room. I don't know. I would just always think of the, like, being fed through a cat flap under the door. And it was never like a, well, at least my life isn't that bad. But I don't know. It's just, it always sticks with me. Him eating the cold soup and pouring the vegetables into the Hedwig's bowl.
Yeah, poor Hedwig.
It's very sad. Poor Hedwig, poor Harry as well.
Yes, poor both.
So Harry goes to sleep with an empty stomach and in this horrible situation and has this weird dream about being in a zoo, which I guess you could argue is a callback to chapter 2 of Philosopher's Stone, yes. The Vanishing Glass.
Dudley, once again, is making fun of a creature in the zoo.
Yeah.
This time it's Harry rather than a snake.
Yeah.
And Harry does not free the creature in the zoo.
Himself. No, he doesn't. But he does hear a rattling on the window and sees Ron Weasley. And that's how the chapter ends.
Yep.
Yeah. What would you do if you woke up in the middle of night and saw Ron Weasley in the window?
I think I'd be pretty excited.
I would be very upset.
Really?
That there was somebody staring into the window? Yes.
But if it was Ron, like if you knew right away.
I mean, that's I guess Ron once Weasley. You get over the initial shock of it, maybe. But also, I don't know, I would be a little scared if I saw it. I don't know, because like you can think of it as like, am I seeing Rupert Grint at my window, who portrayed Ron Weasley in the movies, or am I seeing 12-year-old Ron Weasley in my window?
I'd be okay with either.
Okay.
Preferably Ron Weasley, the one that knows magic.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say preferably Rupert Grint so that he would give me ice cream. Free ice cream, yeah. Ice cream truck.
Free ice cream would be good.
Yeah, so
imagine
that's
Rupert Grint coming to your window and just handing out ice cream.
It's like a reverse ice cream truck.
Yes.
Rather than you go to the window of the ice cream truck.
He comes to your window. He throws ice cream at you and he leaves.
Yeah. That's like the, what is that called? DoorDash of ice cream trucks. Whatever. That's the chapter.
That's the chapter. And we move on to Spell of the Week.
I really thought you were going to forget about Spell of the Week.
Nope. And we have a pretty easy Spell of the Week because... thankfully, the hover charm is not the same as Wingardium Leviosa. So our spell of the week is the hover charm, which does not have an incantation. However, it's known as a lesser variation of the levitation charm, which is Wingardium Leviosa, but it does work on both objects and people, which Wingardium Leviosa does not work on people.
Right. So I think the distinction there is probably, and you can tell me if this is wrong or not, with Wingardium Leviosa, you have control over the object, like you can move it around, whereas the word hover to me indicates just making it float up.
I think Dobby is able to hover it and move it around.
Yeah, it's hard to say. He definitely does move it in the movie. I don't know about the book.
It is able to move the pudding.
Okay.
But I think what makes it a lesser version, even though it does work on people, is that it has a time limit.
Huh.
According to Pottermore, it only lasts 14 seconds.
Huh. That's where does 14 come from?
Not a clue.
Okay.
I could
J.K.
not
Rowling's
get to
Twitter.
I could not get to that page on Pottermore.
Yeah, they took down. So Pottermore has gone through a lot of iterations. There was like the Pottermore, which was a game, and then there was the Pottermore, which was just like a repository of information, and they took away the game, and then they tore down that Pottermore, and now it's like wizardingworld.com, and they're in the process of like porting over all that stuff, and also now there's a paywall, so some of that might be locked behind the paywall, but you can find that stuff on places online.
Yeah, so this was coming from the Harry Potter wiki, and that got this information from Pottermore.
Right.
The old Pottermore.
Yeah. So that's Spell of the Week, I guess.
Yeah, not a lot of information. Unlike some of the spells we do end up doing, this is used more than once. I feel like there are some that are just like, oh, this bubble charm.
Yeah.
Used this one time and never brought up again.
Or it's like, this is in Lego Harry Potter years 5 through 7.
Yes.
Yeah. But good. You found one that is actually used in it. Dobby does also disappear and reappear in the book.
Yes, but we will save that for another day.
Yeah.
That's all the information I have for Spell of the Week. So that concludes Spell of the Week. Week.
You did that last time too. Yeah, and that's kind of the episode. This is going to be a short one.
For once.
Yeah, for once. So that's the episode. we don't have any emails because we don't. But you can send an email to owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com. That is owlpost at podtrificustotalis.com. I'm not going to spell podtrificus. You can read it off your podcast app. So you can send us an email with a correction or your thoughts or something that we missed or anything, really. You know,
just... Or you can insult us.
Honestly, I would love
an
to get
email
some hate
is an
mail.
Email.
I would... genuinely love to get some hate mail.
And on that note, join us next week.
Nope. got to do. You can find us on the web at podtrificustotalis.com, where you can find all of our episodes and show notes. And that's pretty much all that's on the website. But we do, you know, link back to all the pages that we read off of in our sources for information. So that's cool. And then you can follow us on Twitter at Podtrificus. That's really the only social media site that I check and keep updated. We do also have a Facebook page where I post the new episodes, but Twitter is really where it's at.
And a YouTube channel?
Yeah, we do have a YouTube channel.
Just has the episodes again.
Yeah. Well, some people like to use YouTube to listen to things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can follow us on all of those things. And, you know, if you don't know how to send an email, I guess you can DM us on Twitter. I think our DMs are open. But yeah, other than that, that's kind of it. I will say that I was on an episode of another Harry Potter podcast because we record these things at terrible time frames. This has happened quite some time ago, and God knows how long ago it has happened by the time this episode goes up. But I was on Accio Politics, it was Goblet of Fire, chapter 34, I want to say. It was Priori Incantatum.
One of those two.
Sure. It said something like that. And if you've read the Harry Potter books, you know that that's a pretty big chapter. So yes. Yeah. So you can listen to me on that. And otherwise, that finishes us up for this week. You can join us next week for
Chapter 3, The Burrow.